for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Monday afternoon service of December the 30th, 1996, of the Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Knoll is the speaker for the afternoon.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Amen.
Y'all stand up, please. Oh, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come.
Yes.
Just come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just hold this meeting up to you now, Lord.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that your anointing just come, Lord, and touch every word that goes forth, Lord God. Just let everything that comes forth be anointed, Lord. Let it be anointed. Let it be heard and go down into the heart and bear fruit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We praise you and bless you, Lord God. We just bind now, Lord, all the powers of the enemy. Ask you to send the war angels, Lord, and gather up all the loose spirits around here and carry them off, Lord. And just have the war angels patrol the grounds, Lord, as these demons come out to put chains on them and haul them off to the pit, Lord Jesus. Never to return, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. We just stand in faith now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Send your ministering spirits, Lord. Send your spirits of healing. Send your spirits of deliverance, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Let healing and deliverance come forth now, Lord. For your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Yesterday I began to pray and ask the Father what he wanted me to talk about. And after 2 hours yesterday, I really didn't get a whole lot. He just was real quiet. I got to praise him a lot. I got to talk to him, but he comforted me. But he didn't tell me what he wanted me to say. And so this morning when Glenn asked me to do the service, I began to pray again. God said, be simple, be basic.
Amen.
Be simple, be basic. And so I thought that we would talk about the simple things that you do for deliverance. I mean, Irma, one of the first things that Irma told me was that if you could get people to be honest, earnestly seeking to want to change, and to repent, that demons would come out. And that was a profound truth, and I have not found it to change. And that basically is what I want to talk about today. That's a very simple truth, but it's very profound and it's very basic. First, I want you to look at, you got to be honest with God. You got to be honest about your reasons for wanting deliverance. Honest about humbling yourself before God. Honest about repenting of your sins. Honest about your hurts and your unforgiveness. Honest about your involvement in the occult and your involvement with sexual sin. And so let's look first. You know, God loves honest heart. He doesn't like a liar very well. Let's look at Proverbs 6:16. And some of you have heard me talk about this before, but it is so basic that I think it doesn't hurt to look at it again and again. There are six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A lying tongue, a proud look, a lying tongue, hand that sheds innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness and one who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Those are seven things, and of them, three of them have to do with being dishonest. First is the lying tongue. Second is the witness, the false witness who speaks lies. And that's a gossip. And the third is one who sows discord among the brethren. That's a gossip. Now, a gossip is a tale bearer. And they will take the truth and put their spin on it. You know, I can tell you the truth, but it depends on how I state the facts is what it means to you.
Amen.
And I can present the truth to you in a way that will give you a completely different perception of what happened. And a gossip does this. A gossip presents the juicy morsel in a way that's exciting, in a way that's almost always derogatory, or else it wouldn't be worth telling. And those three things God hates. He says about a talebearer, don't allow them to live. Stone them. The word used for talebearing in the Old Testament is quoted in Ezekiel 28 when it says, the Lucifer, by the multitude of his trading, he sowed deception among the other angels. And so I got really interested in that, and I looked it up, and it means to sell by talking. It means to sell by talking. And that's what they do. They sell an idea by talking. That's a talebearer. And they sell you on this idea. They put their spin on it, and they sell you an idea by talking. Lucifer sold rebellion. And he still does. He really hasn't changed his tactics. He still tells everyone, if I were in charge, then, you know, they don't really appreciate you. If I was in charge, I'd really give you much more responsibility. I'd really give you enough nicer house, a nicer job, more money, a much prettier wife, one who appreciated you more, one who realized your powers and would be more responsive to you, and vice versa. And you know what? He hasn't changed since the Garden of Eden, and he hadn't changed since the days of the rebellion. You know why? He didn't have to. It still works. It works so very well today. And he seduces people by his talk and by lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I don't want to get into that. Okay. God loves an honest heart, an abomination, lies abomination to him. In Revelation 21:8 and Revelation 22:15, you'll find the ultimate place for all liars is in the lake of fire. Those who love a lie are locked out of the New Jerusalem. In Matthew 12:32, which I quoted last time, which Brother Pittman quoted, and I quote again today, it says, you will be judged by every idle word that comes out of your mouth. By your words, you will be justified. How many of you know what justified means? It means can be translated either justified or made righteous. Justified has the connotations of a legal system. When you've been justified, means you've been tried in a court of law. When you've been justified, you've been tried in a court of law and found not guilty, declared righteous. And so by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. So don't lie. And God knows your heart. There are no secrets hidden from him. We'll just look at one. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. It is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now remember that God told Samuel when he was picking David, he said, I don't look on the outward appearance as man does. I look on the heart. Now the word of God judges the thought and the intent of the heart. In Jeremiah 17, God says the heart is deceitful above all things and incurably ill. I, the Lord, judge the heart. He knows the intents of your heart. There is no secret hidden from him. Everything is open and naked to him to whom we must give account. And so God knows. He knows what you think. He knows what your intents are. He knows everything about you. He made you. And he knows you. He knows the hairs on your head. You know, it is almost hard, it's impossible to conceive of God. When you figure the number of people, did you know that in the average Oriental head that has rather coarse hair, there are about 25,000 hairs, 25,000 to 30,000 hairs. On the average European head, which has much finer hair, there are about 75,000 hairs on an average head, I'm told. I've never counted. But God knows exactly how many you got on your head. Now, you know, I don't have quite that many.
Yes, amen.
God, you know, in the scripture, it says that two sparrows were sold for a penny in Matthew. In Luke, it says five sparrows were sold for two pennies. That means sparrows were so cheap that if you bought 2 cents worth, they threw in one free. They threw one in. Five for 2 cents, two for 1 cent. They threw in an extra one. Nevertheless, even that sparrow sold without a price, God marks his fall when he hits the ground. That's how well your Father knows what's going on here, and he knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So all I can say to you is, turn your hearts to God. If you want to get free, turn your hearts to him. Will set your mind. Now, you must understand the heart means your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. Turn your will to God. It is said that the Billy Graham campaign says that by their own estimation, approximately 5% of their conversions hold. At the end of the year, approximately 5% of the people who make freshman commitments to make new commitments to Christ are walking the Christian walk after 1 year. Finney, who was a lawyer and who appealed to people's will, it's estimated that 70% of his conversions held after 5 years. You have to make up your mind and set your will to follow God. God expects you to use your emotions. If you didn't use your emotions, you'd be stony, silent, almost dead, devoid of expression. But he expects you to set your will to follow him. And you make up your mind, and you set your will, and you be the persistent widow, and you seek after him. And he will set you free, and he will take care of you. And so, you want to be honest and realize that God knows the intent of your heart. I've got 10 scriptures up here about God knowing the intent of your heart. I don't intend to read all of them. Now, why do you want to get free? What do you want to be delivered for? Well, the first thing is to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7 says, man was created to glorify God. And Hebrews 13:5 says that we will honor him with the fruit of our lips. We want to bear fruit to him. Romans 4:7 said Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead that we might bear fruit to God. Now, Galatians 5:22 will list the fruit that you're supposed to bear. And let's look at that for a minute. And I'm grateful to Brother George Wingate for showing me this way of looking at the fruit, because I had never seen it before. But last year, Brother George went over the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, and peace are what you see in someone. When you look at a Christian, you should be able to see the fruit of the Spirit. You should be able to see love in that person, joy and peace. That's what you should be able to see in his life, manifested. He should be long-suffering, kind, and good to his fellow man. Long-suffering. When your brother falls, you help him up. You don't kick him, saying, why can't you stand up? And you're long-suffering, and you're kind. You're kind to people. I mean, you're kind, good to other people. And your relationship to God is your faithful gentleness and self-control. You're faithful. Now, you have to understand where faithful comes from. Brother Pittman talked about the verb to believe. That's the verb form of the noun
faith. And it gives, the, if you read the 43 pages in Kittle, which is the Greek New Testament dictionary, you will see that that word means integrity. It means fidelity. It means trustworthiness. It means faithfulness. It means dependability. The first, fidelity, bank and trust. I mean, you can trust those people with your money. You can put your money there and it'll be there next year when you go back. That's what it means. And so faith. So faithful means a dependable, trustworthy, honest individual. And someone who has faith has that characteristic in their life. If you have faith, you have those characteristics in your life. It's more than just a mental asset of believing. And so to be faithful means he's a faithful person. If he says, I'm going to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning and run the sweeper over the carpet, he'll be here at 6 o'clock in the morning and run that sweeper. You'll say, you suppose he's there? And they can say, I think there is a very slight chance he might not be, because there's a blizzard raising outside. If he says that he's going to set up the chairs, if he says, I'm going to give $100, you can know that that $100 is in the bank because he's good for his word. My father was a contractor, and the only people he ever had a written contract with was the federal government. Whenever he did a government job, he had to sign a written contract and make bonds. But anybody else, he shook hands. And if they insisted on a contract, he would write them a letter and say, I will drill you a well so deep for this much money, sign his name and send them a copy of it. Now, my father wouldn't work for a lot of people because he said they wasn't honest and he couldn't depend on them to pay him. And if he didn't think that they were good for their word, he wouldn't work for them. I had a man that wanted me to do a rather extensive drilling in the oil well business. And he offered to put the money in escrow at the bank. And my father, Dad told me I couldn't take the job because the man was a crook. I said, we're going to put the money there. Whenever a man offers to put it in escrow, you know he's a crook. This was 50 years ago. But that's faithful. Faithful in relationship to God. You're faithful. You're gentle or meek. That word there in the Greek is meek. Or gentle. Now, Moses was the meekest of all men, which meant he was strong, but he had strength under control. And you have self-control is also temperance. You remember the ladies' temperance union that broke up all the whiskey bottles? You are temperate. You control your passions and your lust. Your relationship with God is that you have self-control and you do not do things that will make Jesus cry. You do not do things that will hurt your God. You have a personal relationship with your big brother. And when you sin, you hurt him. You hurt him. If you don't realize that, people, you need to get on your knees and get a better relationship with him. Because when you fall into sin, it hurts Jesus. It hurts. And you should not want, you should want to not sin because you don't want to hurt. I used to, when I was in high school, I stayed out of problems because I didn't want to hurt my mother. I didn't want to hurt her. I did not want someone to tell that it would get back to her that I had done something wrong and hurt her. I didn't want to hurt her. You should not sin because you don't want to hurt your big brother who saved you, gave his life for you, adopted you into the family of God. When you were yet a sinner, stranger to the covenant, no claim on the covenant, far from God, but he brought you in. And so, praise God. Anyway, that is the fruit that should be in your life. And that's what you want to bear to God. And you should be obedient to him because you don't want to hurt him. I won't go any more than that. God, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. If you have a love relationship with me, you will keep them because you don't want to hurt me. Not because you're afraid of the penalty, because you don't want to hurt me. Now, if you don't have that kind of relationship with Jesus, you should seek it. Because once you get that type of relationship, sin is far from you. Sin is far from you.
You don't have the concept of him sitting up there with a hammer to hit you in the head. You have another concept. You have a love relationship, not a legalistic relationship. And so that's the reason you want to get delivered. Now, if you desire, but you want to continue to live in the world, go on home now. That's all I can say to you. If you desire to get delivered so you can continue living in the world, doing what the world wants you to do, my advice to you is leave this camp right now and go on home. Because we cast demons out of you, and you're going home living in the world, they're going to come back, and they're going to come back worse. That's what Scripture says. And I know it's true. I've seen it happen. I read it to you in James 2 days ago. Let's look at it again. James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses. You bride of Christ, have you been out adulterating and going after the world? Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. People, you can't chase after what the world has got. You got to turn your back on it, put a guard over your mouth, and learn to speak in the Holy Ghost. Be slow to speak, quick to work, slow to speak. Speak as the oracle of God. That's what 1 Peter says. Speak as an oracle of God. Deliverance is for the desperate. People who really, desperately want to change the way they live and want to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. To do this, you have to humble yourself. Remember that the first thing that God's abomination of God was a proud look. Well, how do you humble yourself? You humble yourself by denying your flesh. Uncrucified flesh is always legal grounds for demonic forces. Works of the flesh. You must deny. Deny your passions and lust, the deceitful lust of the flesh. And you do that first by denying the most basic instinct. And David said, I have humbled my soul with fasting. Now, the interesting thing about that word in the Hebrew, fast literally means to shut your mouth or put a guard on your mouth. And so I said, where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to go hungry? Well, it says so in Deuteronomy. Let's see if I can find it here. Deuteronomy 8:3. And so he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, that might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes and proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the New Testament, it says, every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3 tells you that to fast means to go hungry and to shut your mouth and quit talking so much. Now, there are a number of places in the Bible where, if you're interested, you can look at Ezra chapter 8. And in Ezra chapter 8, they were getting ready to come back to start the temple. And they had a large amount of gold that had been collected. And the king gave Ezra all the gold and all the temple, all the vessels that had been taken out of the temple. And modern Bible experts said it was possibly $100 million worth of gold. And he was getting ready to carry it 1,000 miles across land full of bandits. And he said, I was ashamed to ask the king for a company of horsemen to go with us, because I told him that the hand of our God was with us and against those who was against us. And, you know, sometimes you live up your testimony, folks. That he couldn't ask the king for an army, so they decided to fast. And they have proclaimed the fast by the river Ava, and they fasted for 3 days, and then they went 1,000 miles, and they arrived in Jerusalem in good shape. Did not lose any people or any gold. As a result, fasting is, I could go on and talk about fasting. There's all kinds. You can look in Isaiah 58:6-11 for the promises of fasting. I give you numerous others. Jehoshaphat called the nation to fast when the mighty army was coming down, and God honored the fast. Fasting. But I'm going to say this to you. Fasting without prayer is dieting. You want to go on a diet to lose weight and quit eating? Well, that's what you're doing. You're dieting. But you want to fast, then you deny your flesh and seek the face of God. Ezra said, we proclaim to fast to seek the face of God for our wives and our little ones. Jonah, the king of Assyria, called a fast, and he wouldn't even let the animals drink for 3 days. Esther proclaimed a fast of both food and water for 3 days before she went into the king. There are numerous examples of fasting. And so, you want to get delivered? Try fasting. Did you know that John Wesley would not ordain a man to the Methodist ministry unless he agreed to fast breakfast and supper 3 days a week? Breakfast and lunch? And these were people who were getting on their horse, riding 50 miles a day, preaching 6 or 8 sermons out of the saddle. And they couldn't eat breakfast and lunch 3 days a week. Or else he wouldn't ordain them. And so you have to humble yourself. Then you have to repent of your sins. I had a young lady in my the mother called me, and she's a young lady who had been rebellious for years. She'd always been rebellious. The school principal talked about how he used to try to catch her and this other young lady who was in cahoots with her, smoking in the Christian school, and they could smell the cigarette smoke on them, but they never could catch him in the act of smoking, and they kept trying to catch him. Well, when she got to high school, her rebellion became full-blown, and she started going out on the weekend and coming in drunk at night. And the parents were just having a terrible time with her. And she called me and said that this child, that they called her from school, and the child was weeping and crying and couldn't uncontrollably. And so she brought her to my office with tears running out of her eyes and saying, oh, she just felt so horrible. And so I sat down and I talked to her, and I prayed with her for a few minutes, and God told me that he had convicted her of a sin. And so I told her that she just had a guilty conscience, that she was in sin, she knew she was in sin, and that God had convicted her. And then she began to cry worse. And I told her that she needed to repent. And she said, I am repenting, I'm crying. I said, no, that's not repentance. Crying and weeping over your sin is not repentance. That's earthly sorrow that leads to death. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And so I went to my office and got my Bible and brought it back, and I read it to her, showed it to her in the Bible. And she said, well, what is repentance then? And so she and I had a long talk about repentance. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And I told her that what she had to do to repent was to first, the word repent in Greek means a change of mind. She had to decide that what she was doing was wrong. And she said she knew that. And in the Hebrew, repent means to turn your back on it and walk off and not do it anymore. Now, you see, repentance is a gift from God. You can't repent unless God gives you a spirit of repentance.
Amen.
Your repentance starts with God, with God's conviction, and with God's spirit of repentance. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:25, starting with verse 24. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may come to know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having being taken captive by him to do his will. Now Romans 2:4 says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's God's goodness. He convicts you. And he offers you this spirit of repentance. And now, I told her, I said, you can accept it and turn away from your sin, or you can sit here and cry a while, then go out and smoke a cigarette, and go out and get yourself a bottle of beer, and drown your sorrows in your beer like you've been doing for 2 years. And maybe go sleep with your boyfriend and see if that won't make you feel better. But I don't think it will. And now I thought she was wailing so loud, I'm sure the people outside thought I was killing her. But I let her in a sinner's prayer and ask God to touch you with the spirit of repentance, and she left with her mother. And I didn't hear much from her for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I talked with the psychiatrist. Earlier, he had asked me, and I had recommended a fine Baptist psychiatrist who I had talked to, I had interrogated rather thoroughly before I'd sent him any patients. And he got sort of put out with me. He said, "Why are you asking me questions like this?" And I just kept asking him how he felt and how he treated. I said, "Well, you have to understand, the last psychiatrist, I sent a teenager to, told her that it would be, you know, that she could relieve her tensions by going out sleeping with her boyfriend. I just want to make sure you're not going to tell my children to do that." He said, "My God, Bill, I think that's malpractice." And I said, "Well, I'm certainly glad you feel that way. Not all psychiatrists in this town feel that way." Well, he asked me, and he said, "Well, maybe we can get her in this treatment center and this treatment center and this treatment center." I said, "Well, I don't know. Parents, I don't think, are ready for that." And then she called me, 1 o'clock at night. My call service called me and said, "We've got this very excited, hysterical woman on the telephone," and she told me a name. I said, "Well, fine, patch her through to me." And she said, "Doc, no, I met Jesus Christ. He walked into my room. I've been saved."
Hallelujah.
I tell you, she's on fire for God. She's on fire for God. She's been through deliverance, and she had about 15 earrings in her ears, you know. And last time I prayed for her, you know, God told me, said, "I'm going to take her to Bethel." Now, Bethel means the house of God.
Yes.
And so I told her, I said, "You're going to take the earrings out." I said, "God wants to take you to Bethel, and you're going to have to take the earrings out of your ears." I said, "Now, if it bothers you," I said, "you take them out while I'm praying for you, and you put it on the shelf." She said, "God, he spoke to me before you did and said, you're going to Bethel. And if it means the earrings have got to go, that's fine." She took them all out. She put them in my hand and said, "Throw them away. I don't want to ever see them again." And I did. I took them out and got rid of them. And we fertilized the wheat field with them. The wheat field so they could be plowed under. Praise the Lord. But she got true repentance. She turned. She actually sought the Lord, and she turned from her sin. People, you want to get free, repent of your sin. You know what your sin is. You know what you're putting before God. God has convicted you of it. You know what's wrong. Turn from it. Quit doing it. Ask God for the spirit of repentance. Renounce it. Tell those things. And they'll come rolling out. And it won't come back. Old-fashioned repentance. Praise your Lord. I've got numbers of scriptures on that, but we'll just stop with that and move on. And the next thing you have to do is you have to confess your hurts and your unforgiveness. I don't know of anything outside of a lack of repentance that will block deliverance like unforgiveness. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. We'll just look at one or two scriptures. I'll give you the rest of them, but we'll just look at one or two here. I think it's important that you look at these scriptures. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us our trespasses by the same measures we forgive those who trespass against us." Everybody knows that. Let's look on down here at Matthew 6:15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, I got into a little discussion with this on one of these very nice young ladies who believes that this contains the Word of God. You know what I said? This contains the Word of God. Now, what does that mean? That just change the word a little bit, just contains the Word of God. That means that not everything in him is the Word of God. And if you go to one of these fine seminaries, you will learn to be able to distinguish which is really the Word of God and what was the result of Paul's prejudices, Paul's male chauvinistic, or Paul's other problems that they think he had, and how much of this, you know, and you get to be a systematic theologian and you decide what you think God is, and then you look through till you find scriptures to prove what you, and the rest of it you ignore. Written by men,
It's not just written by men. It just contains it. You know, you've got to be able to... And when you really get educated, you can pick it out, see? That means that you can make this book believe anything. You can make it say anything that you want to, if you do that. But as Amy said, if you find a leak in it anywhere, the whole ship will sink. It stands or falls as a unit. It has no error in it. It's the most absolutely logical treatise in the world. It's perfectly logical. Written by a number of men over 1,400 years in two different languages, and contains the word of life. Contains the word of life. There never were any psychiatrists until 1900. Up until that time, and they find that if you get people who will go to a good Bible-believing evangelical church and sit under good preaching out of the Bible and put it to work in their lives, they'll get well quicker than going to the psychiatrist. Because a psychiatrist will not get you well. You know, psychiatrist practices get full. They can't take new patients because nobody ever gets well. They get them to feeling better, and they go out, and then they have to come back in for a retread job. And then they get this continuous circle of patients coming back in to get retreaded all the time because nobody ever gets well. I don't want to get into that. Praise your Lord Jesus. And so you have to confess your hurts and your unforgiveness. Well, let's look at Matthew over here. Matthew 17. What it says. Now, it also says in Mark 11:29, the same thing it said here in Matthew 6:14, and in Luke 6:38, it says the same thing. Now, Mark 25:26. Let's look at Matthew 18 now. In Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. This is an interesting thing, you know. Let's look. Let's hold your finger there and go over to Luke 17:4. Here in Luke 17:4, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourself. If your brother," Luke 17:3, "take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, seven times in a day, returns you says, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." To which the poor apostle said, "Oh, Lord, increase our faith." Now, back over here in Matthew 18, Peter came up to him and said, "Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother sin against me?" And I forgive him up to seven times. Isn't that what you said over there, Lord? That if he sins against me seven times, I'm supposed to forgive him. And he says, "I did not say up to seven times, but I said 70 times seven." And then he goes on and tells a parable of the unforgiving servant, which I'm all sure all of you are familiar with. A man came in and he owed 10,000 talents, which was about $1 billion if it was gold, at $500 an ounce. Gold is a little less than that, about $370 now. So, but it was an astronomical amount of money, and he couldn't pay it. And he's going to sell everything. He's going to sell that man, his household, his wife, his children, everybody was going to be sold in slavery for the man's sin. Does that tell you something? And he begged for compassion. He showed compassion and forgave the debt. And then this old boy went out and grabbed the man that owed him 100 denarii. Was that it? Or 30 denarii? How many denarii? 100. About 100 days' wages. So about 3 months' wages, $10,000. Each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, it depends on which translation. The King James says the torturers. Sometimes it says tormentors. The New American Standard says tormentors. The NIV says he put him in jail. Or whatever it wasn't a very good place to be. So if you want to get put in jail and get tormented, hold unforgiveness. You'll get bitter. That root of bitterness will grow up and defile you. Then you'll get arthritis and maybe cancer. That'll show them. You'll really get even with them, won't you? Really make them pay for hurting you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Don't give yourself all that stuff. God says, what does he say when someone hurts you? Well, let's look at Matthew. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. "But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and abuse you. And 35, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And so, you want to get delivered? Forgive. Separate yourself from your sin. And I have one other scripture. Let's look at Job. Do you remember that Job... Now, you all know the story of Job. Job was a Pentecostal preacher. And he was the head preacher. Very successful and always thought about his kids and prayed for them, you know, and prayed for his family and everything. And misfortune befell him. He lost everything and he got really sick and broke out with sores all over him and he stunk and got thrown out on the ash heap by his wife. And his three chief elders, associate pastors, heard he was sick. And they went over to see him. And they found him out there sitting on the ash heap scratching his sores with a piece of pottery. And they just put dust on their head and sat and cried for a week before they could even speak to him. And so when they finally recovered from their shock of seeing the great leader in such dismay, they said to him, Job, come on now, Job, fess up. What kind of sin did you do to let this come in on you? And they went on and they tormented poor Job for 40 chapters. And Job just kept saying, I hadn't done anything. I know, fellas. I've searched my heart, and I've just done everything, and I prayed, and God hadn't shown me anything. And they said, oh, come on now, you mess up. What'd you do? Look at this all in there. This is one thing that gave Pentecost a bad name in the 40s, because whenever anybody got sick, all Job's comforters gathered around the bed and put them under accusation saying, what kind of sin? How did the devil get in? You got sin in your life or you wouldn't be sick. Is it true, Glenn? Yeah? Praise the Lord. I remember my prayer partner got sick with cancer. She and her husband were my prayer partners, and she got sick with cancer. And we were praying for her. And we had another couple, and she refused for me. She refused me for permission to tell them that she was ill, that she had cancer. And she was, it's a long story, and she was not doing well, and she went downhill. And I asked if I could please tell them, and she said no. And so I said, why? She said, she doesn't want them coming over here and putting us under condemnation, because I know what they'll say. They will come in and say, how did you let this cancer get in? What's its gateway? How did it get in? We've got to find the sin so that we can command it to leave. And she said, I don't need that condemnation. They found out eventually and came over crying, and my relationship with them was never the same. Just was never the same after that. And we're strained at the present. And I don't think I don't know. It was just our relationship was never the same after that. Anyway, and so we look here, you know, and God finally appeared to Job. And let's look at verse 42, Job 42:7. And so it was, after God had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Elivite the Tetabite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourself seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Telemite and Dilibad the something else and Zodabad the something else went as the Lord had commanded them, for the Lord accepted Job. Now, verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, he gave Job twice. He healed him. You want to get healed? Pray for your tormentors. You want to get healed of your unforgiveness? Pray for them. I mean, get out in labor and prayer. I'm not talking about a quickie, I forgive them, bless them, Lord. I mean, get out on your knees and labor in prayer for them. Ask God to touch them and to bless their children and bless their crops and bless the provision. Now, you don't have to recite their sins to God. You don't have to recite the wrongs to God, because the devil is already doing that more uncharitably than you'll ever be able to. Praying hide Brother Pittman talked about praying Hyde, missionary to India. Praying Hyde was a great intercessor. And one of the things that I learned studying praying Hyde's life was that you don't have to do the devil's work. Praying Hyde had a missionary friend who was cold. And he got on his knees to pray for him. And when he got to this, he wanted to say, "He's cold. You know how cold he is, Lord." It just wouldn't come out of his mouth. I mean, the Holy Ghost would have left when he tried to say it. And so he learned that God didn't want to hear the man's fault. He wanted to hear Hyde bless him. And as he blessed him, Hyde could see the coldness lift off of him. Bless him. Lord, touch him, Lord. Increase his warmth towards his patients. Increase his warmth. Bless him with understanding and wisdom and knowledge. I mean, you can pray for your distractors. Now, it's God's privilege to do what he wants to with your prayers. Now, he may put them on that person. No, he may bring them back to you. In Psalm 34, David said, "They returned me evil for good. But when they were sick, I humbled myself with fasting and sackcloth, and my prayers returned to my own bosom." Yeah, his prayers came back into him when he prayed for the people who had done him wrong. He was fasting, wearing goat hair. That's a coarse, like a potato sack. That was one of the ways they fasted. They put this potato sack next to their skin to irritate it, to punish their flesh. And so you want to forgive. Then you want to confess your... And so, your basic conditions for, as I understand it, for deliverance is: one, is to be honest with God. Number two, is to be honest about where you want to be delivered. And you want to be delivered so that you can glorify God. You can be obedient to God. You can bear fruit to God, that the fruit of the Spirit will come forth in your life. And when the people see you, they will be unable to criticize you and Christianity because of the witness of the fruit that's coming out of your life. They will be put to shame by the fruit that comes out of your life. You'll be a witness, and people will see Jesus in you. And they'll see a faithful, honest, hard-working person who's tempered, who's got his lust, deceitful lust of the flesh under control. And they're gentle and kind. That's what they'll see. And they'll want to come and say, "What have you got? I'd like to have whatever you've got. I've been watching you. Can you tell me how you get this way?" And so, you want the fruit that Jesus Christ might be glorified. Jesus might be glorified. Then you confess your sins before God. You repent of them and turn away. You confess your hurts and you forgive the people who hurt you, and you pray for them earnestly, sincerely. You humble your soul before God. Deny your flesh. Because the flesh says, "Get even. You know, don't get mad, get even." You ever heard that? People that say that usually are very bitter, angry people who've got ulcers and high blood pressure and then have arthritis and then get cancer. But they get even. The devil gets even too. He has fun with them. And then you confess your sexual sin and confess your involvement in the occult, chasing after other gods, chasing after. And God will set you free, people. God will set you free. You need to break the curses on your life. We talked about curses the other day. And I said that what your sister Mildred talked this morning and said, what your ancestors did affects you, because you were in the loin of your ancestor when they did the sin. But thank God, Jesus Christ was made a curse for us that we might be delivered from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:18 says Jesus was made a curse for us that we might be delivered from the curse of the law. If you've had soulish prayers spoken about you, you know, I talked to you earlier about you either speak in the spirit of the world or you speak in the Holy Spirit, one or the other. And when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying the will of God. But when you're praying out of the Spirit of this world, what you're doing is you're praying a soulish prayer, which is generally a curse. And it's witchcraft. And so you need to confess your sins before God and turn to God with all your heart and soul. He'll set you free. Now, curses, if you have people who are praying soulish prayers about you, you got relatives that are upset because you left the true religion. You got Mormon relatives, and they're upset because you've become a Christian. You know, Mormonism is not a Christian. It's not Christian. They don't worship the same Jesus you worship. They worship another. Y'all know there's another Jesus? There's a spirit of another Jesus. Mormons don't worship the same Jesus you do, but they are trying to pass themselves off in contemporary society as a branch of Christianity. And they try to tell you that they worship the same Jesus. A little girl came to me in church and told me, she said, "Dr. Noll, we're becoming Mormons." I said, "Oh, how sad." "Well, we worship Jesus. It's a different Jesus, child." "No, it's not." I said, "Sure it is. The Jesus that the Mormon church worships was a man who lived on a planet someplace else, kept the law perfectly, and was elevated to godhood and came to this planet. His older brother's name was Lucifer. And the reason Lucifer is mad, the devil, he's Jesus' older brother, and he wanted to be there. He wanted to come. And God chose Jesus instead of him." And she said, "That's not right." I said, "Sure it's right. That's Mormon theology, but you won't know that until you go through the temple. Until you're so far in, sworn to secrecy. You won't know that. When they bring you in, when you finally work hard enough and get temple rites and get into temple, and they take you in and they give you the secret handshake and the secret code words, and they bring you in and they show you the play and they tell you that Lucifer is Jesus' bigger brother and they swear you to secrecy. Now, it's all published. I mean, the Tanners have published it all. It's pretty well common knowledge to people who are interested in that sort of thing. There's another Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I don't know how I got on that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord." So, today we're going to cast out the other Jesus spirits. We're going to go after another Jesus. We're going to break all the curses. The curses that have been spoken. Those people pray soulish prayers. And they pray to draw you back. But the Bible says, and those prayers have power. Don't think they don't have power. They have demonic witchcraft power behind them. The power of the world is witchcraft. Soulish prayers have witchcraft power. How much power depends on the familiar spirit, the person praying. That's the reason. Well, but the scripture says in Isaiah, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, you shall condemn or refute." This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. You have a right to refute all those prayers. And when you feel, I had one lady tell me that it was novena time. And she said, "I don't know why in the world I feel this heaviness on me." I said, "All of your relatives are down lighting candles and praying for you to come back to the true faith. That's why. And you feel this heavy oppression. Bind those prayers." And when she did, next day she said, "I feel fine when I started binding those prayers and asking God to bless my relatives and bring them to salvation." You feel that oppressive heaviness come in, you begin to bind those soulish prayers. And ask God to bring the people praying them to bless those people and bring them to salvation. Lots of people teach you that you're supposed to send the prayers back. Send the curses back. I've done that maybe. The Holy Ghost has led me to do that, I guess 3 or 4 times. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me, and these were professional witches. Against professional witches. But I don't feel that's correct otherwise. And I think it's something that you should be absolutely sure that the Holy Spirit's leading you to do before, because you're no longer blessing, you're cursing. And I used to routinely send them back, and the Holy Spirit convicted me of it and told me I wasn't any better than they were, because I was doing the same thing they were doing, because I sure wasn't doing it in the Holy Ghost.
And I repented and I asked forgiveness. And I have to, I'm very, very careful. I just, you know, I have to be absolutely sure that that's what God wants to do. And I would say that to you. I would not routinely send back curses. I'd send blessings back. Because you send blessings back, if they don't deserve them, God's going to send them back to you. They send out curses, and the curse causes cannot light. The curse causes cannot light. You don't have any sin in your life. You don't have any iniquity in your life. The curse can't light on you. It sort of flies around like a swallower and goes home. It says God will make them stumble over their own tongue. It says that in Psalms 88. They launch their arrows, bitter words. Those are curses, bitter words. Whenever you see speaking wickedness and bitter words, the Bible's speaking of curses generally. God says that they'll stumble over their own tongue. Well, praise the Lord. Let's stop. Keep me talking. It'll be 6 o'clock before we get through. I think it's time to stop and start praying. Oh, let's everybody stand up and jump up and down a little bit, and let's praise Him a little bit. Praise the Lord. Get the blood circulating in your legs and in your feet, out of the bottom of you and up into your brain again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise. Stir your soul up a little bit and get it to moving. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we praise You and bless You and glorify You, Lord. Give thanks to You, Lord, for Your great glory. Let's everybody sit down now. Dear Lord, I love You. Lord Jesus, I want to be free. Lord, I believe that You are the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He is the Son of God. Died on the cross for my sin. Shed His blood for me. Was resurrected from the dead. By the power of the Holy Ghost. For my justification. Sits on the right hand of the Father. To intercede for me. To ever make intercession for me. Thank You, Lord. In the name of the Father. The name of Jesus Christ. I renounce the Father. I renounce all false religions. All witchcraft. All the occult. All ESP. All divination. All divination games. All demonic skills. In the name of Jesus, I break the curses that came from my involvement in them. I renounce mind control, positive power thinking, positive power control salesmanship. I renounce all literature I've ever read in these fields. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the following. All curses. Hexes. Jinxes. Charms. Placed on me. From any occult source. I break the curse of incest. Illegitimacy. Incest. Idolatry. Whoredom off my family line and off of me 10 generations back. I renounce any oaths ever made by my ancestors to any club, brotherhood, lodge, fraternity or sorority, which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin. I renounce any vows ever made by me to any such organization. I break all demonic supplication, all soul ties to my parents, all evil soul ties to my parents, grandparents,
Spouses.
Ex-spouses.
Ex-spouses.
Or any other human being.
Who's ever controlled me.
Or dominated me.
In any way.
Contrary to the will of God.
I break any curse.
Of insanity.
Or mental illness.
On my family.
In the name of Jesus.
I repent.
Of all the sins of my ancestors.
I break the curse of the vagabond.
The curse of whoredom.
The curse of divination.
In the name of Jesus.
I command.
Any familiar spirits.
Assigned to me.
Or my family.
And they are demonic.
Mantle.
To depart from me now.
And never return.
I don't want them in my life.
I want them to leave.
And never come back.
Dear Lord.
I have a confession to make.
I have resented certain people.
I haven't loved them.
I confess this is sin.
I do now forgive.
At this point, I want you to forgive everybody that has ever hurt you.
And very quietly,
just forgive anybody that the good Lord brings to mind, very quietly, under your breath. And we'll just wait a minute. Bless them, Lord.
If they're still living,
bring them to salvation.
In the name of Jesus.
I do now.
Forgive myself.
It's very important that you forgive yourself. It's very important.
Lord Jesus,
I confess
I have committed sexual sins.
I do repent
and ask forgiveness.
I turn away.
I do
confess
I have committed the following.
And here, very quietly, name under your breath. Everybody look straight ahead. Just quietly name under your breath any sexual sins that God brings to mind.
I claim cleansing
under your blood.
For your word says,
if we confess our sin,
you're faithful and just
to forgive our sin
and cleanse us
from all unrighteousness.
Thank you, dear Lord,
for your cleansing.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, in the name of Jesus,
I command
the enemy to set to loose me
and never return.
In Jesus' name.
For what is written
in Joel 2:32,
anyone
calls upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Leave me now.
In Jesus' name.
I want everybody to sit down and put both feet on the floor and don't cross your hands and let what happens happen.
In the name of Jesus, I just bind the spirits of rejection now in the name of Jesus. These are God's people. They're not rejected children.
Spirits of rejection, I bind you in the name of Jesus. These people have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're redeemed children. God has sent His spirit of adoption into their life. They've been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not rejected. They've been accepted in the Beloved. Rejection, I bind you. Rejection by boyfriend. Rejection by girlfriend. Rejection by parents. Rejections by friends, by fellow workers. Rejection by the world. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All rejection, just be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear. I bind all fear in the name of Jesus. Fear the world. Fear the dark. Fear of parents. Fear of losing your job. Fear of not making it. Fear of not being good enough in the name of Jesus. Fear. I just bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to go. All fear. Legion fear.
For God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The perfect love of our Lord Jesus Christ does die, drive out all fear. For fear has torment. Fear come out in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no right. These children are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got no right to them. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. All fear. Fear. Fear the unknown. Fear of not being good enough. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, fear, fear, fear. I bind fear in the name of Jesus. All lust, lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Come out, lust, all sexual lust in the name of Jesus. All lust for things, lust for money, lust for power, lust for position. Come out, all lust, lust in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, lust. I bind all lust in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, lust. Come out, out, out. I bind all Pharisee spirits, religious spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the Pharisee, all religious spirits, all lying spirits, spirits of the lie, come out in the name of Jesus. Lying spirits, come out. Lies, lies, come out. All lies, habitual lies, storyteller lies, exaggeration lies, come out. All spirits of exaggeration, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, 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 out. All lying spirits, all exaggerating spirits, come out. All spirits of the lie. Come out in the name of Jesus. All lying spirits, we bind the lie. Come out. Out. Grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Come out, lying. All lying. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out. Out. You're an abomination to God. Come out in the name of Jesus. All liars. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got no right in there lying in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of witchcraft. Witchcraft. Bind all spirits of the occult, all spirits of witchcraft, all witchcraft mind control. Witchcraft mind control, I speak to you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I isolate you from all other spirits. You can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. No power or authority. You can communicate with no other spirit. I bind you now and I command you to come out. Come out, witchcraft mind control. All witchcraft, witchcraft. Trying to control other people. Come out. Trying to control their children. Trying to control their husband. Trying to control their wife. Trying to control their employees. Trying to control their siblings. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All positive power control in the name of Jesus. All demonic skills come out. All astral projection come out. All ESP come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All familiar spirits come out. All seance spirits come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus. We bind all of you and command you to leave. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 out. All, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft, all divination, divination. I bind you, divination. I bind the spirit of divination and call and command it to go in Jesus' name. Go, go, divination. Go, go. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind you, divination, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I loose you from your authority on these people in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse that gives you a legal right to be there. Sorcery. I bind sorcery in the name of Jesus. Sorcery, you uncovered in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All sorcery spirits. Spirit of sorcery. Spirit of sorcery. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Rock music. Come out in the name of rock music. Drums. Spirit of the drums. Come out. Spirit of rock dancing. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Rock music. Come out. Come on out. 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 Spirit of the actor. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of the finish. Come out. Finishes. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of the arguments and the talismans. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you sorcery. Come out. Come out. Come out. Variology spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 every one of you. Leave God's people. I bind the spirits of murder and rage and anger and hostility in the name of Jesus Christ. Jealousy. I bind all spirits of jealousy and anger and rage and murder in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of violence and anger. Come out, come out, come out. I bind all spirits of suicide and death in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ, all of you. Out, 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 out. All spirits of heaviness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone, be gone, be gone, be gone, be gone. I bind the spirit of schizophrenia in the name of Jesus Christ. Schizophrenia, come out. Other personalities, multiple personalities, I bind you. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Other personalities, come out. Come out. Foreign soul, I bind you and command you to come out in the name of Jesus.
Be gone out of God's people. Go, go, go. I bind the spirit of Porneo in the name of Jesus. Porneo, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. All spirits of... Come out, spirits of Porneo. Come out, spirits of Moloch. Come out. Come out, spirits of all martyrs. Come out. Martyr spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Porneo spirits, come out. Fornication spirits, come out. Sodomy spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind all of you. Come out. 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 Coneophilia spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. 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 Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Philetho spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out. 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 All you spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all of you. I speak to spirits of migraine headaches. I bind you and I command you to leave. Speak to all headaches, all migraine headaches, tension headaches, vascular headaches, allergy headaches, all headaches. I bind every one of you and I say, leave God's people. You got no reason, got no right to be there. Jesus, for their infirmities and their sorrows and their sickness and their pain, and by His stripes they've been healed. Come out, headaches. Come out, all headaches, all sign of trouble. Come out, all nearsightedness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All farsightedness, all stigmatism. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in Jesus' name. All cataracts, I curse you. I curse you and I command that you dry up and go away, cataracts, in the name of Jesus. Speak healing to the lens. All glaucoma, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All sinus infections, come out. All pyorrhea, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all gingivitis and pyorrhea, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out, pyorrhea and gingivitis. Come out, 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 out. Come out, come out, come out. I bind you, laryngitis, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Loose God's people, loose God's people. In the name of Jesus, all bronchitis, all asthma, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All emphysema, come out. All heart attacks, come out. All dropsy, come out. Come out. Come out. All dysrhythmias, come out. Come out. I bind esophagitis. I bind duodenal ulcers. I bind stomach ulcers. I bind stomach cancer. In the name of Jesus, all pancreatitis, all pancreatic cancer, all coleophytis, all gallstones, all liver problems, all hepatitis, I bind you. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all chronic hepatitis. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Out, out. All shingles, I bind you. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. All herpetic infections, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All herpes, herpes type 1, come out. Type 2, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, 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 out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Bind the spirits of Crohn's disease and enteritis in the name of Jesus and colitis and diverticulitis. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All spirits of constipation, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All spirits of Hirschsprung's, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of hemorrhoids, come out. Come out. All spirits of epididymitis, come out. Urethritis, cystitis, come out. Vaginitis, come out. All spirits of dysmenorrhea, come out. All spirits of PMS, I bind you, PMS. I bind you and I break your hold on these people. I break your hold. I loose you from your assignment and I command you to leave. In the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness in the liver. All arthritis. High blood pressure. Diabetes. I bind you. All claudication. Poor circulation. Come out. Come out. All diseases of the muscles, come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come against strokes. All strokes and heart attacks, I bind you. Come out. All brain damage, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All vascular accidents, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution to vascular accidents in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Brains, I speak to you and I say you line up with the Word of God. God's Word says they've been healed. Flesh, line up with the Word of God. Line up. In the name of Jesus, I speak restitution to God's people. I speak the restorative power of the Word of God, for He sent His Word and He healed them. I speak it out in faith. I speak out the Word of God. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. I speak healing and restitution to God's people in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of cancer. Cancer, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Command you to be gone. Go, cancer. Go. All cancer. All cancer. All addiction. All bondage. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to nicotine. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Bondage to masturbation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. 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 In the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Out. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. You got anything else? Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, send your angels, Lord, and gather up all the loose spirits now, Lord Jesus. I bind the spirits of Moloch and murder and Kamush and abortion in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, great and mighty God. Great and mighty God. We praise you, Lord. Send your spirit now, Lord God. Fill all these people, Lord God. Float all these loose demons out, Lord God. Send the angels, Lord. Send the angels to pull them out with their hooks. In the name of Jesus. Send the bees to drive them out, Lord. The hornets from heaven. In the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus. Turn loose. Turn loose in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, great and mighty God. Great and mighty God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're a great and a mighty God and a glorious God. There's no God like you. Come on, witchcraft. Turn that girl loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn her loose, witchcraft. Be gone out of her in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Out. Witchcraft. Jezebel. Turn these people loose. I bind the spirit of Jezebel in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of Ahab in the name of Jesus. Jezebel and Ahab. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out. Out in the Jesus name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Oh, great God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Praise you, Lord God. Everybody stand up. Oh, Lord Jesus, send your anointing now, Lord. Lord Jesus, I just release the agape love of God to come down and fill now, Lord Jesus. Lord, just let your love come, Lord God. That agape love of the Lord of our Father. Just come now and touch your people, Lord. Just touch them. Hallelujah. That unqualified, unearned love of the Father. Touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Fill them with your anointing and drive out all the loose ones, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to bless them, Lord Jesus. Just bless them. Thank you for them, Lord God. Thank you for these wonderful people, Lord, who listened attentively and who moved in, Lord God. They moved in with the Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you're so wonderful, that you set them free. Lord, I thank you and I praise you and bless you for your wonderful gift. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.